Those were the only black students there at the school. And they began as soon as the integration started at 54 and 55.
But sitting in her living room in Georgia, just a few minutes outside of Atlanta, Fannie Motley points to old photographs of the first nine black students admitted to Spring Hill College. Her picture is on the top. Motley says she was hesitant to attend Spring Hill at first, but her husband insisted.
He said, now that the integration law has passed, and since Spring Hill has opened up its doors, and we're right here, said, all you have to do to finish your last 2 years of college, just get in the car and ride out that Spring Hill every day.
Motley wasn't your typical college student. She was 29, married, and had two young sons when she transferred to Spring Hill in 1955. That was just a few months after the Jesuit University decided to integrate. In 1956, Motley would become the first African-American to graduate from Spring Hill. It was an event the press was eager to cover, but Motley was fearful of the attention.
That was right during the time of the Ku Klux Klan. My husband was pastoring the church, and I didn't want to put the church in any jeopardy. Like maybe you look up and somebody would have come and burned the church down during the night.
Afraid of what the repercussions would be, Motley called the school's president, Father Andrew Smith.
I said, because of the Ku Klux Klan and because of my husband being a minister and there's a church there, I said, I don't want that. And he said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it.
Motley says Smith tried to chase reporters away from the campus during her graduation. They came anyway, and that concerned Smith as well as Motley. The school feared a backlash and lack of donations to the private school if integration wasn't kept low-key.
Father Smith is famously asked by the Mobile Register if there were black students on campus, and he says, well, I assume so. You know, but he says, we don't ask that.
Professor Tom Ward teaches history at Spring Hill.
And so that, of course, was part of the way it was going to be done, in that if it was going to be done, it could be done quietly.
Ward says while Father Smith was quiet about integration, other members of the Spring Hill faculty weren't. Sociology professor Albert Foley was dismissed for holding interracial meetings on campus in the 1940s. 6 years later, Father Smith rehired him. Ward says Foley's approach to integration was more aggressive, especially when it came to the Ku Klux Klan in Mobile.
Foley wasn't going to do things quietly. I mean, he was going to be outspoken and he was going to, you know, call people out. And that went against the school policy in some regards. And also, you know, potentially putting students in danger by having them, you know, go infiltrate the Klan. And when they say, well, you get hurt, he said, well, you'll be a martyr then. That's, you know, kind of like it's a good thing.
Despite requests from the school leaders, Foley publicly spoke out against the Klan. He had students infiltrate Klan meetings and encouraged them to take down license plate numbers. Tension came to a head in 1957 when Klan members set up a cross soaked in kerosene in front of a men's dormitory. Students chased the Klansmen out before they got a chance to light it. But while Foley was aggressive with civil rights and integration at Spring Hill, Ward says the Jesuit priest had a different attitude when it came to Dr. Martin Luther King's approach to the movement.
And I will not take from you any of the very unchristian things you've been saying about me. I expect to be respected as a clergyman.
This is part of a recorded phone conversation between Foley and King. It was May 4th, 1963, just weeks after King was arrested in Birmingham.
I have not taken the wrong road. I'm just differing with you on a tactic.
Foley and King agreed that the civil rights movement was necessary, but they weren't always on the same page. Foley believed the Birmingham March was the wrong strategy at the wrong time. King thought otherwise. The two met several times and spoke on the phone from 1955 through King's March in Birmingham in 1963. Fannie Motley also met King.
When Martin left our house, I said, this is a historic chair. And I put in the dining room, and I had him sit at the head of the table.
Back in Georgia, Motley shows an old chair in her living room where King sat in her house in 1964. She has a sign on the back of it to remember his visit. King would not forget the Catholic University and its impact on the civil rights movement. He mentioned the college as a leader in the desegregation movement in his 1963 letter from a Birmingham jail. The Civil Rights Act would be signed into law in 1964. 10 years after desegregation at Spring Hill College. Maggie Martin, APR News, in Mobile.